You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday with Gordon Brown, John Babb and Rory Delaghi in the studio. Two national hunt meetings on Tuesday afternoon, one from Lingfield and the other from Sedgefield, accompanied by all other action on the Fibre Sand at Southwell. Three meetings to come on Tuesday. Do tune in for all of that. Right now, though, my name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Yeah, pretty good. Thank you, Mark.
Good man. As we usually do on Tuesday's edition of the Racing Podcast, we're going to look at the Monday jury in the Racing Post, and then we'll get stuck into Tuesday's action with James offering his best bets in four of the day's races. But let's get stuck into the Monday jury to start with. And the first question is around Q-Card. How do you rate Q-Card's chances of becoming the million-dollar man? Well, it should be £1 million, really, shouldn't it? But what do you make of it, James?
Yeah, I was really impressed with Q-Card on Saturday because, I have to be honest, I didn't think he'd ever get him back at Tizzards because he's had a broken pelvis and he's had wind issues. And generally, it's very, very difficult for horses to come back to their best from there. And I just thought last year was a little bit of a shadow of his former self. And generally, you wouldn't see him back at his best. But he probably looked better than what we've ever seen before. Travelled extremely strongly throughout the whole race. You could call him the winner entering the home straight. And he just powered clear. He beat some really decent horses. Obviously, the 1-2 from last year's King George were well behind. And there's no real excuses, really, for Svanika Conte. He destroyed him on merit, I think. And I was like seriously impressed with the effort. And the King George looks to have a strong chance there, to be honest. I think he is perhaps the most likely winner for that event. I do think come Gold Cup day, it could be a stronger race. And stamina, more at a premium up the hill, maybe just struggle. Because obviously, the 3 mile, 2.5 is an extra test. And that's what really suited Conagree last year, but I think he could definitely have a very good chance in King George, and he could well be heading to Cheltenham still with this £1 million bonus on the horizon. So like I say, I was just really impressed, and just well done to the Tizzards, because that was a cracking training performance, getting back to his best.
Yeah, very impressive. Like I say, he looked better than ever, really. I'd say I'd agree with it. He's got a very good chance in the William Hill King George. The Gold Cup, though, would worry me. They went a relentless gallop with Coney Green.
Exactly.
It's just that doubt about staying 3.25 miles. I know he travelled well, and if he travels like that around Cheltenham, fair enough, but I've still got that little bit of a doubt in my mind whether he would.
Well, obviously, Ryanair's obviously been mentioned more as a target before this.
I think he'd win the Ryanair, or he'd have a very good chance.
Definitely, but the bonus on offer, if he does manage to win the King George, is definitely going to be going for the Gold Cup. Mm. But I would share your doubts over that extra stamina, especially with horses at of Conagree's class going on a strong pace as well. It will be interesting, but like I said, I think King George definitely is the one to beat there.
Put some prices on it then. Q-Card is 5-1 to win the King George, the William Hill King George. He is 12-1 to win the Cheltenham Gold Cup, and for him to win the Jockey Club Chase Triple Crown, he's 25-1. For anybody who's interested in that. Second question, were you surprised the Jockey Club Racing's seven-figure bonus failed to enhance the Betfair chase?
Perhaps not surprised, maybe more disappointed. Hmm. Obviously a lot of money potentially on offer, and the Irish Challenge was pretty weak, bearing in mind there's quite a few Irish horses that would have been eligible for this. The issues would have been, it was announced quite late, and generally you'd have mapping out your targets back in June, July for your stay-in chases, and perhaps the targets just weren't there. Conagree had obviously announced a long time before that Sharp, Freemar and Haydock wasn't going to play to his strength, so they were never going to go for it. And just a shame, like I say, didn't get a bit of a stronger Irish presence, but in the end, we had a very, very impressive winner anyway in Q-Card, and I think whoever had come for the race, I think they would have struggled to beat him. So in the long run, I don't think anyone's really missed out on a potential easy Betfair chase. But I was a bit disappointed, and we didn't get a big field either. But like I say, hopefully maybe next year if we keep it going, or even if Q-Card can win the King George and get a bit of momentum behind this $1 million or £1 million bonus. It could be more interesting next year. But like I say, Cape Star, he did it. But I kind of got forgotten about, so it's good it's back on offer.
Mm. I suppose the disappointing thing is that it was largely the same field that turned up last year.
Yeah, you could if you had no bonus, you'd have exactly the same field.
Yeah,
that's the slight problem. But you may get next year's Gold Cup winner say, look, we're going to target that £1 million bonus in the following season.
Okay, on to the third question then. What did you make of Vitor's return to action at Ascot? He is the 5-2 market leader for the William Hill King George VI Chase, by the way, ahead of Don Cossack, who's 4-1, 5s for Cucard, as we mentioned, 6s for Coney Gree, who does need to be supplemented, and 12s or bigger for the others. But in terms of his reappearance, what did you make of him?
Well, he wasn't particularly impressive, was he? He didn't get beat, unlike Fahin, but he was getting £5 yesterday, so he should have won a little bit easier than what he did. But William Mullins trains him for Cheltenham, a little bit like Aidan O'Brien. They're not fully tuned up first time in the season, and ultimately that is their main target at the end of the season, and that's what we remember, is what he did in March, not what you do first time out at Ascot. So I wasn't disappointed. I did expect a little bit better, but he's still got a job done. He's been quoted as only being half fit, which if he improves another 50%, he will be near unbeatable. But like I say, it was interesting, and it certainly makes the season perhaps a little bit more exciting, because again, like Fahin, we've not got a standout champion which you know is going to obliterate everything, because there's still so many chances in all these races.
Yeah, fair enough. Is it too much to ask of Irving to follow up in the Fighting Fifth?
It's going to be difficult, because it was very, very soft ground there at Haydock, and even if you win a little bit comfortably like he did, you're still going to have a hard race. But I don't think the Fighting Fifth is going to be particularly strong, and it's a Grade 1 race. Obviously, he won it last year, and I think it's an obvious target to aim at, because it does look to be a little bit weak, both numerically and in strength. So I can certainly see him definitely running Irving, and even if he's a couple pounds below his best, he might still be able to win. I was impressed with the Wink Out and run. I thought that was an excellent effort. Again, it just depends how soft the ground is and how much that Haydock race took out of him, which unfortunately, within a week, even Paul probably himself won't know going into Saturday's race, because he won't be able to give him too much work. He'll just keep him nice and fresh, probably give him one blow at the gallops, and from that it'll be very hard to tell exactly what kind of form he's in. But as long as he's sound on that, I can see no reason why Paul won't run him, and I think he's going to have a good chance.
All right, fifth question. Who do you like the look of in the Hennessy this Saturday?
Well, I think we've got a cracking race. Hopefully, Kern agrees over that foot scare he had. It's quite a while before the race, so as long as he managed to work on Sunday, and then we got very positive reports from Sarah Bradstock yesterday, and going to be fascinating. Obviously off top weight, it's going to be a Denman performance for Coney Gray to win, but he is that type of horse that I think could do it. The way he runs, he gets any horse that tries to race with him, he does get off a bridle, but he could come third or fourth and enhance his Gold Cup credentials just by the weight he's given his rivals. And Bob's Worth, a Gold Cup winner who beat Simon Sigler in his return, was given an absolutely cracking ride by Nico de Bonneville. To be honest, he stole the race on that occasion, but it showed Bob's Worth in the best form he's been in for quite a while. And he's only got 10 stone 7, that's £7 lower than what he won off a few years ago now. But I was really impressed by the return. And if he's ever going to win a big race again, this will be his best chance. So heart probably says Kona Gray can win, because I'd love to see a front-running Denman performance. But with my head, I probably could be going for Bobsworth. But either way, it's going to be an absolutely fascinating race.
Mm. I backed Smad Place in the race last year. And I think afterwards, the idea was he probably should have had a run beforehand.
Yeah, Ken said he looked a little bit fat in a paddock, yeah. I think.
Oh. He has had a run this time around, and he looked very impressive
wasn't he? Wouldn't put you off him either. I think, like I say, absolutely cracking race to look forward to.
It is. That comes up on Saturday. Give us a horse or two to have caught your eye away from the bright lights. Nice open question to finish with.
Yeah, from the bright lights. Trying to find one that's probably gone under radar. It's a little bit tricky. Probably one of my dads that ran the other day, actually, Isis Blue, who's got a slightly unfortunate name in current events, but he ran off the track after 860 days. He finished second in a 0-70 at Kempton. He's come out of that race pretty good shape, and realistically he's going to improve a lot fitness-wise. I think he could be a really fun horse on whoever to follow this winter, because, like I say, he's quite a classy animal if we can keep him sound, and there's some nice races around Kempton to be won. So Keep an eye on Isis Blue. Train with my dad in new weather this winter.
All right, good stuff. Anything else caught your eye then before we move on to Tuesday's action, James?
News-wise, not really. I'd say we just got some absolutely amazing racing to look forward to, and the Hennessy should be an absolutely cracking race.
Okay. We probably should mention as well Duvan's chase debut. We haven't mentioned that yet. Were you impressed by him?
Yeah, I wasn't impressed. I wasn't disappointed. He did what he had to do. I think it was 14 runners who sent him out at the head of affairs so he didn't get in trouble. And it was a typical Willie Mullins chase debut. He did nothing wrong. Didn't really learn, I think. He was 11-2 on or something like that. Jumped well and got the job done. I'd say we'll learn a little bit more when he sets up in grade, but realistically, he's probably not really going to face much of a challenge until we see him at Cheltenham in March.
It was very reminiscent of Vettel the year before. He won that race 12 months earlier. They kind of rode him in the same way, went from the front to keep out of trouble.
Keep out of trouble, but they know they've obviously scored well at home.
Yeah.
And they're quite happy to let them go. So, like I say, great we saw he could jump, because obviously that's a concern first time of the fences that he might not take to it. Took to it absolutely fine, but like I say, we didn't really learn anything form-wise. He could have been a quarter fit and won that race yesterday. So, I'll say, not surprised, but hopefully all the horses stay sound. Obviously, Annie Power, unfortunately, she's had a slight setback.
Yeah.
There's maybe a chance she doesn't go for the Hatton Grace and could well just have one run at Cheltenham. And
they're saying maybe just wait to the festival.
It'll be the mares if she only goes straight to the festival, which I know she came down here last year, but she was such a class above the opposition. It'd be nice to see her in the stayers, but obviously that would be an option and she'll be a very hot favourite to make amends for that last flight error last year.
Hmm. Yeah, let's move on then. Let's move on to Tuesday's action. James has got four races for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, Tuesday's action. We'll spin through these in chronological order. The 220 at Sedgefield is the first race we look at. This one is a novice's handicap chase over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. A field of 12 here, James. Which ones have made the shortlist?
Yeah, you've given me a nice tricky race to get the action underway. Novice's handicap chase, where a lot of these are going over fences for the first time. And one that's got experience, who ran at a cracker when finishing second on his chase debut, was Tomorrow's Legend, who was second of 8 behind one at Kelso, ridden by today's jockey Adam Nichols. Only gone up a pound, this Sunday Midnight Legend, and he looks a type to improve over fences. His hurdles form was pretty consistent, but he's got the scope to do well over fences, and bearing in mind he's already had a run in this sphere, which was a promising debut, I think he's definitely the one to beat for George Moore and Adam Nichol. Of the others, one that's consistent is Sunsis Wakan, who has had a lot of experience over fences but just struggled to get his head in front. Last 6 runs he's been second or third off very, very similar marks in the mid-80s, but he just hasn't got his head in front. 300 days off a track, he might just need a run. If you want one that's got experience in each way bet, Wakan would certainly be the one, but he does need to improve on what he's shown so far. One to keep an eye on is one that's been in the point-to-point sphere or the Hunter Chase sphere, and that is News Page for John Wade. And this one was second in a maiden hunter chase at Cartmel back in May. And he makes his rules return off a very low mark of 84. A little bit of confidence gain in the point sphere. Could see him being well handicapped. Another one that might be well handicapped is Clan Chief. The Alexander team are in much better form this time around. And this individual didn't do too well over hurdles, but did drop a little bit in the handicap. Was originally rated 98. Now makes his chase debut off at 93, but a yard which are in much better form this year than what they were last year, so they've got a lot of well handicapped horses, and that could be one to keep an eye on at the price. But I'm going to stick with one that's proven with race fitness and chasing ability, and the selection will be Tomorrow's Legend.
Tomorrow's Legend, the selection for James then in the 220 at Sedgefield. The 240 at Southwell is where we go next. This is a class 5 handicap over 1.5 miles. Not too many of these arrive in the best of form, James, but Lexington Bay and Frosty Berry did both return to winning ways last time. Either of those two capable of following up here?
Well, Lexington Bay obviously won a claimer at Savile back in May and then ran over hurdles and was disappointing. And the fact is he hasn't been seen for 183 days. I think he's had a stable switch as well. I think he has moved to Philip Kirby's yard. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on back in handicap company. Generally, claimers have seen his best chance of success. One that just got beat in a claimer the other day was Commissar, for the Heather Dalton stable, and that was a pretty good effort here at Savile, and shows hand on the surface, and let's say a yard which does well at a track, he would be very, very interesting. Frosty Berry, the other one you mentioned at one last time out, he won very, very well at Redcar. It was the first time he'd been ridden by a professional for a fair while, normally amateur ridden by the owner's connections, and that was a real improved effort over a mile six, back down and tripped a mile and a quarter. Just a concern whether the mare's going to reproduce that effort, and it's just whether it was the professional hand and it was the key, or just the fact that she was on a going day, so it's hard to know. One that might well get backed is Astra Hall for Mick Appleby. Lots of his get gambled on the 5% because of his excellent strike rate at the track, but we'd need to improve on the effort shown recently. He was rated 80 when he last ran at Savile. He's running off 65 tomorrow, so he could be well handicapped. Well, one that is interesting at the top of the weights is just one of my brothers ridden in a couple of amateur races, and that is Indian Chief. Patrick actually rode him for Danny Nichols, but he's moved stables in the interim. He's now with Rebecca Basterman, and he's a very, very hard pulling keen sort. He was actually favourite for the Dante many, many years ago. So my brother's actually ridden a horse that was rated higher than I ever rode. He was, I think, 110, I think, at one point. But he's now down to 75. He's moved stables, and just a combination of maybe revitalised by a different regime at the Bastermans. And I think several might suit him because, like I say, he is very, very keen. So I'm going to go quick, so he might actually settle on the 5% at Savile. So I think although Kumisar is probably the more solid horse, I take a chance each way on Indian Chief on the first run for the Rebecca Basterman team.
Indian Chief and the selection for James in the 240. Moving on to the 250 at Sedgefield next. This one is a class 5 handicap chase over 3.25 miles, field of 11 here, James, and again, quite a tricky race.
Very tricky. 11 runners and 3 mile 2 furlongs. It's going to take some getting at Sedgefield in this weather. It's going to be probably sticky ground as well with this slightly colder weather, so it is going to be hard work. One that's got course form is Urban Gale, who's actually won 2 of his last 3 starts for Joey Foster and Sean Quinlan. He comes into this race in certainly the best form of any of the opposition, and I think he's definitely going to be probably the one to beat and the likely selection. But an interesting raider near the bottom of the weights is the Irish runner Camilla's Wish, who was second on our last outing at Sedgefield, comes over once again, and like I say, a key that they're bringing her back over here, obviously probably much easier than the Irish races that she has been running in, but has run in the UK before. But cheek pieces on for the first time, might see a better performance from Camilla's Wish. Another one to consider is Over and Above, Henry Hogarth's runner, who's again pretty consistent, but has been off the track for 82 days but has got a course win next to his name, which is always important because Sedgefield's quite a unique track. But overall, I think that Urban Gale, with that course form and 2 wins in the last 3 starts, he could make it 3 from his last 4.
Urban Gale and the selection for James in the 250. And finishing off in the 3 o'clock at Lingfield, this one is a Class 3 intermediate handicap chase. It's over 2 miles and 7.5 furlongs. And we'll start here with Wilton Milan, if we may, James, because this is probably easier than he's been trying of late.
Yeah, best race of the day, certainly. And Wilton Milan actually ran the 50 grand listed event at Wincanton last time. He was pulled up, but his first run of the season was a pretty decent effort when 3rd to Astrakad went out of the handicap. And like you say, this is a massive drop in grade for him, and is certainly one to keep an eye on for the Inform Dan Skelton team. Again, the ground's going to be very, very testing there at Lingfield tomorrow, so that's going to be a little bit of a concern for some of these, especially those that haven't had a run this season. But 4 of a Kind is interesting for Harry Whittington. He had a pretty good season last year and was 3rd on his first run back at Chepstow. He won a race at Chepstow on heavy ground in January, which I think is always key. And he showed this mark wasn't beyond him with a couple of placed efforts and some decent events at Newbury and Huntingdon. This doesn't look to be the strongest of races, so as long as the market suggests he's fit enough to do himself justice, 4 of a Kind, I think, will be the selection in this valuable 10 grand handicap at Lingfield.
Okay, good stuff. As usual, James, let's just have a little bit of a summary, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, in a very tricky novice handicap chase at Sedgefield, we've gone for Tomorrow's Legend. I was really impressed by his chasing debut in 2nd at Kelso. Off a pound higher mark, I think he's going to be hard to beat. The 240 at Savile, we're going to take a chance on Indian Chief, who's moved yards now with the Bastermans and has run well enough in a couple of amateur races to suggest he's capable of winning off a mark of 75, and Savile might suit him. In the 250 at Sedgefield, we have gone for Urban Gale, who's won 2 of his last 3 starts, and I think he can make it 3 out of his last 4. And finally, in the 3 o'clock at Lingfield, we have gone for the reappearing four of a kind. As long as he's fit enough to do himself justice, I think he's got an excellent chance.
Superb. Good work, James. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Tuesday.
No worries.
There you go, the thoughts of James Millman on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday with Gordon Brown, John Babb and Rory DeLaghi. In the studio, Lingfield, Sedgefield and Southwell are the three meetings. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.